Hi, everybody. Welcome to Commercial Real Estate Bosses, where we interview badass investors who are crushing it in the commercial real estate space. I'm your host, Sierra Hoffman, and today's call, we have Tim Woodbridge. So, Tim, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Now, as usual, please tell us your story. So what did you do before real estate and how did you get into it?
Sure. I'm a nurse. Otherwise, I tell people, so I grew up and I was very in a financially unsophisticated household. So my dad saved everything, worked hard, but saved everything. My mom spent everything. And I know, so neither is really a great way to build wealth, right?
Yeah,
really
yeah.
Your way into wealth. I went for nursing. Like, I enjoyed nursing, but one of the reasons I went for it was because it was safe. And so I just did that. And I did that for a while. And I just hit like a lull in my life and eventually moved out to South Carolina, moved out to Charleston, South Carolina. I'm from California originally. And so in moving, it was like in a brand new mindset sort of thing. So I started listening to podcasts. I started reading and just educating myself on things that I was curious about. And one of the things was real estate. And so like everyone, I picked up Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And the word asset and liability, they were both new to me, like completely new. And this is maybe 4.5 years ago. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And from there, I just read and read and listened to tons of podcasts. It's easy to go down a rabbit hole when you're curious.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had no investment portfolio or anything, was deciding which way to go. Listened to a podcast with a Bigger Pockets podcast with Frank Rolf, who's a big mobile home park guy. And he said, this is why I like mobile home parks. And it just resonated with me. So you've got tenants who are sticky because they generally will own their own home. With their home ownership, hopefully you have pride of ownership and you've got tenants taking care of their own toilets and fixing up their own homes. They're basically just renting the space from you. And yeah, it was a little alternative, a little weird, a little different. So I just gravitated towards it. So from there, I just learned a lot, just read a lot, just networked, asked a lot of questions. How do I do this? Yeah. And on the podcast, Frank was talking about mobilehomeparkstore.com. And I thought it was a BS website. I thought that was totally fake because it sounds totally fake. So I looked it up and saw what was close to me. And there was a park that was on the market for a while. And it was about an hour or so from where I live. And so, yeah, I'll contact this guy and see what comes of it. And then really just talked with him as a person. Why are you looking to sell? Like, I noticed it's been on the market for 6 months. You're not selling. You know, what's going on? And I just learned a lot about him. And so he was a retired pharmacist. I am a nurse and just had that connection there. Next thing I know, I'm driving up there to this tiny town in South Carolina that I had never been to before and I never really heard about. And I was totally scared, like super afraid, like just nervous about everything. I don't know anything that's going to happen. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to go talk to this guy and he's going to show me his park. Yeah. And so I meet up with him and his brother. They show me the park and then he and I go and have lunch together. And so he wanted one price. And based on the little information I had on commercial real estate, it's based on the NOI. And I'm throwing out things like I understand, but I don't. But I'm like, man, I can't pay you more than this. And he comes back. And he's like, I can't do that. He says, I can't go any less than this, which was substantially lower than his list price.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, if I can do that, can we close it? Can we do that? And he said, yes. And I asked, can you sell or finance the whole thing to me? Again, I'm just going off of like little things that I've heard about. And he said, I can't do that, but I can do $50,000 of it. And that was a big amount of it. And so a lot of after that was me just learning, okay, how the hell am I going to do this? I've got something that I think is maybe a good deal, but I don't know for sure. But how am I going to do this? So I brought it to people I knew who might have a better idea about how to do it than I did. The person I brought it to didn't really. Learned about that later. But overall, we just took the steps to close. Okay, what do we have to do? We have to do due diligence. We have to find someone to give us a loan. We have to find the down payment. And so I just failed forward, figuring out how to close that. And it was a pain because it was very vacant. And so it was the seller knew the banker, like the person who's a vice president of a bank. And so that they gave me a loan for the 75%. The owner carried back 20%, I think, something like that. And so I partnered up with another person and he just had to bring a little bit of money. I brought the closing costs and then we closed it. And yeah, it was, I didn't really have a game plan other than, okay, I'm going to figure out how to do this and how to make this profitable. And 2020 hit, COVID hit, all the factories were shutting down and one mobile home manufacturer said, okay, finance these homes to people, to park owners, 100%. You just have to pay setup. And so, yeah, I bought a park that was like 10 to 36 occupied. I bought 7 homes and 2 other people moved their homes in. And it was a lot of just me learning, how am I going to do this? A lot of me putting shit on my own credit cards and stuff like that. And me like having sleepless nights. But yeah, eventually we got it set up. I got it filled. We refied. And the park was worth more than double what I paid for it.
Wow.
With the refi. Yeah. And working, doing like kind of the same thing. So 2 years later, I bought 6 more homes. I got 25 of 36 occupied now. And I don't know, we'll refi eventually, but probably not now. But value's probably tripled, you know, probably tripled from what I bought it at. And the thing is, once people see that you can do something, like that puts a lot of weight under, okay, he can do this, so he could probably do other things in that same asset class. So from here, a friend brought me into another heavy value add mobile home park, which was 33 units. And from there, some of the guys in that one, we all got a 55 unit mobile home park. And I'm the manager, primary manager for all 3 of these parks. And it's just a lot of systems I've been setting up. A lot of me asking, how can I stop doing this work? How can I get someone who's better at it? Yeah. So talking with people and getting like VAs, I have a great VA bookkeeper. I have great managers, like boots on the ground managers. I'm always looking, how can I get myself out of this business? How can I use my time in a better way? How can I get more, acquire more parks or acquire more assets?
Yeah.
What's my highest and best use?
I think it's really cool how you just did it on your own. You listened to a podcast and you just took action and you made it happen and you didn't know what you're doing, but you just took, like I said, you failed forward. So I love that story because it's good to know that some people, like a lot of our listeners are thinking like, should I do it on my own or should I invest into a mentorship program? And there's definitely pros and cons for both. And if you have the funds, maybe buying someone's expertise can definitely accelerate that path. But if you don't have the money, there's other ways of doing it, right? And getting involved in the business. So
but definitely if you have the money, use it. Get the mentor. I would be probably way farther. And so I don't have a mentor right now, but that is definitely on my mind in 2023 because I'm like, okay, I've got 124 pads, but I want to build. Mm-hmm. I really want to build. And I've been doing it myself, but
So you want to scale, right? So tell me about when did you close on that first property? What year was that?
2019, December 7th, 2019.
Okay. So 2019, you've got about 124 pads now. So you're just in mobile home parks. And so tell me about why you got into real estate in the first place. What's the motivating factor behind you wanting to get into this business? And are you still a nurse as well? Did you quit that job?
So I quit nursing in September of 21.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Let's see. Why real estate? Because I want to be rich. Like I'm an antsy kind of person. I have to be working on something. And I've seen people with real estate and just how well they're doing. And I'm like, that's what I want. So my rich life is not having to worry about money. like not like doing what I want to do. And that doesn't even need to be extravagant. It's just, okay, these people are doing so well. And I have lived enough, even as a nurse, for, like paycheck to paycheck. Again, I didn't know money. So yeah, it was just like, okay, look how well they're doing. Let's see how I can do that. And then from there, I was introduced, you know, through reading and talking to people. It's just the time freedom and money freedom, location freedom, stuff like that. That's what I want. Quitting my job, like I've worked my whole life, and then quitting, it's such a mental game changer. It's scary. It's definitely scary. And it doesn't always work, but I just love the freedom of being able to do anything that I...
Yeah.
Like having the time to do whatever I want.
Yeah. I like working, but I like working on my own schedule. So now that I've got like this whole morning routine, it takes me like 2-3 hours to do between my like yoga, meditation and working out and going for a run. And so now I'm like, I don't know if I can ever go back to a job because I've got like this routine now. It's like ingrained. If I ever had to get in like a full-time job, I wouldn't have the freedom to be able to do things, see my husband in the middle of the day, go for a longer lunch or just little things, but just that time freedom of being able to have more flexibility in the day-to-day schedule. Speaking of that, tell us about what your schedule is like right now. You did mention that you've been outsourcing and just removing yourself a little bit more and more from the business. What does your day-to-day look like managing these assets?
So my day is mostly now looking at new deals and trying to scale up. I spend time, but it's not as much time as you'd think about like managing assets. It's a weekly call with the other owners. It's a 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. Every once in a great while, I'll go up and visit one of the properties and just, I don't know, do various different things. But it's not like it's not even nearly a 40-hour work week thing. Maybe 5 hours managing the assets, to be honest. And like I said, sometimes I'll drive up there and that'll take time, but it's not like I'm grueling and, I don't know, doing hard manual labor or anything.
Yeah.
So it's more like getting things in place.
Yeah. And it's different when you're working for yourself versus someone else. It does have a feel like it's like a choice versus a have to, right? So tell me.
Exactly.
Exactly. Gets you versus have to. So tell me about why you like mobile home parks versus a traditional apartment building.
So I don't own a traditional apartment building. To be honest, there's definitely a feeling in my head that the grass is greener, right? I'm like, oh man, I see Grant Cardone's a billionaire. I see all these people. Kim Brotz lives here outside of Charleston and look how well he's doing. And that's all in traditional multifamily. Yaden and Jennings are doing amazingly. They're here in Somerville. And so there's definitely that part of me that wants to build that kind of wealth. So I guess I don't have a good answer in terms of why it's better. I do have why I enjoy it. So I like mobile home parks. Each individual person is a small footprint in the overall, right? If I have one person who doesn't pay, I'm not losing sleep over that. And same with bigger apartment complexes. But say you got an 8-unit apartment building. Like one person not paying is a big deal. If I had it's just a much smaller deal than it would be otherwise, because they're paying $200 a month. I'll figure out the $200 if it even got to that point where it's, oh man, I can't pay my bills. It's okay, I'll pay the bill myself. I like how people generally own their own homes, and if they're not paying, then it's, let's have a conversation. Can I buy your home? Can I give you cash for keys? What can we do? Because you don't want to move your home because it's going to be $3,000 to move-ish and then maybe another $5,000 to get set up, plus $5,000 to $7,000, if not more. So it's okay. We both have stake in the relationship. It's, I want you to pay, you want to pay so you can stay there. So there's no eviction process. It's not a pain.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I have more leverage than in an apartment building. If they're not paying, what do you have? You can evict them. Okay. And that's on their record. But like, who's to say they're not going to go and destroy the place?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, there is definitely an advantage to that I can see. I don't own any mobile home parks, obviously, but I can see how them owning that part of the building and then the less maintenance on your part as well, because they have to maintain their own mobile home. You're just leasing the land. There's not as much to do. You're not having to speak to contractors every week and figure out things to fix up in all these properties. So that definitely makes things a lot easier as well.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to do another podcast when I have some apartments so I can be like, oh yeah, I thought this, but actually I like this better. Who knows?
Yeah, it's all speculation at this point.
Yeah.
Tell me about one of the deals that you've done, maybe one that was more difficult than the others, one that has maybe an interesting kind of backstory. You told me about your first deal, but walk us through like pros and cons of maybe a deal that you thought was particularly difficult or something like that.
I think so. The first deal for me was by far the most difficult. Mm-hmm. The other two were easy in comparison, but they were not traditionally financed. So the second was me spending money to buy a share like of ownership. And then the third one was some people from the second one knew a wholesaler. And so that was all owner financed. And I got in for basically just taking care, like being the manager. And I leaned on, for the third one especially, on a friend who's also an owner of the park in terms of getting all the minutiae taken care of. Like he spoke with the attorney. He got all that set up. He opened up the bank accounts. He did all that stuff. And it's not that I can't, but I appreciate that he did. Yeah. The first one, I had never set up an LLC before closing on that first one. So that was a new experience. Yeah. And with my first one, I was like, no one had faith that I could do it. And I don't blame them. I had no faith in myself that but I take that back. I knew that no matter what, I would figure out how to do it, but I had no track record. Getting the loan on it was really difficult. I talked with a ton of people who were just not interested, either because of my lack of experience or because it was so vacant, 10 of 36 pads occupied. And then from there, it was like, okay, like we need some money and I don't have that much money. I have a little bit, but nowhere near what we need. So it was after finding the bank to give us the loan, it's okay, you need this much money. And I was like, I don't have that money. And I asked the partner who I was working with, and he's, oh, I don't have that money either. And I was surprised because he always dressed like super well. So I thought because he dressed super well, that he must have all this money. He has all this experience. And again, it's just, I was so new. I totally had that expectation, but he didn't. So we had to find someone else to bring in the money. And what I did, I went back to the owner and I said, hey, remember you said you'd finance some of this? And he said, yeah. And I said, is that still available? Yeah. And I said, okay. And he wanted like a 5-year term, fully amortized. And I said, I spoke with the banker and he's like, that doesn't work. You know, you're going to be negative cash flowing. And so I went back to him and I was like, man, we really want this, but it doesn't work. Can we get that interest only? And he said, yes. Reluctantly, he said, yes, for a year. And that super helped. And from there, eventually we closed, and it must have taken 5 months for us to close, only because we didn't know how. And we kept trying to figure out. And that's probably where having a mentor would have helped, like tremendously. Mm-hmm. I was figuring shit out as I was going, and it was difficult. But, and then so we closed the deal, and then within a couple months, one partner started stealing money from the bank account. It was so stupid. Wow. Yeah, that was the first few months of 2020 were very,
I mean,
of course, COVID hit eventually, but unrelated to COVID, I was having my own crazy headache.
Shoot.
But
I have so many follow-up questions to that.
Oh, okay. and there's like, so the only other thing, there was some like sewer issues. And then I finally did meet someone who had more experience with me, and he helped me. Oh yeah, it's just this. Don't freak out. It's just this. So leaning on people helps. What questions do you have?
So when that happens, you partner with someone who ends up taking money, stealing money from the company. What do you do? Is there a way to get him out? Like, what's the next step from there?
So it was a lot of how dare you, and you think you deserve this, and a lot of nastiness from me, a lot of swear words, a lot of from me and my current partner. So it was three of us.
Yeah.
Two of us are still in, me and the good partner, and the third one is out since March of 2020. But yeah, a lot of back and forth, a lot of, I went to an attorney and what can I do to get him out? And he's, oh, you need to either buy him out or he needs to resign. Eventually I said, so we had that sewer issue and the plumber that we hired was totally like taking advantage of my lack of knowledge. So charged like way overcharged. And he's, oh, by the way, all the infrastructure in this park is awful and it needs to be totally revitalized. That's going to be like $150,000 or something ludicrous, right? Yeah. And for a little bit, I believed him until I talked with my friend. He's like, no, you don't need to do that. But what I did, I said, okay, in the group chat between the three of us, I said, okay, if you don't want to resign amicably, then we're all going to have to do this, a capital call. We're going to have to raise money for this big sewer system. And he was just like, I'm not making any money off this anyway, so I'm going to resign. And he didn't know I was going to an attorney. But I already had the paperwork drawn up from the attorney that was his resignation. And so he signed the resignation. He added a blurb of bullshit of he's not responsible for any of the liabilities that he racked up, like all the charges to Outback Steakhouse and bullshit like that. And no, exactly. Like, I'm not responsible for any of that. And then resigned. And then we were down 10-ish grand, 11-ish, I don't remember. I think 10 grand from the company, 5 grand from me, roughly. And I was like, I have no idea what to do from here, but let's just run this. Let's just run this park and see what we can do. And he was gone and I was sleeping well again. And Legacy Homes said, we'll finance 100% of these homes to anyone. So that's when I bought 7 of the homes and figured out how to do that.
Very cool. So basically, in that case, you bought the mobile homes, you own it, and you're renting the entire home now.
I lease with an option to purchase the home. Yeah.
Got it.
So people are still responsible for the toilets and the keep and everything of the home. And they still just pay me lot rent, but it's lease with an option to purchase. So it's like a renting to own. We got a down payment from each person, and then they just set them up on payments. Like, I'm the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. It works.
Kudos to you to figuring this all out on your own. It's a pretty crazy story. And you did it all without a mentor. You just listened to a podcast and you took action. How many people are listening to the podcasts, even like this one right now, and never actually take any action? I love that.
Let it be known also, like, I'm part of local real estate meetups. So it's not like I totally did it by myself. I feel like I stand on the shoulders of giants. So there's always people like, hey, what can I do? This guy's stealing from us. And friends who are also in other real estate meetups, you can do this and this. And yes, there's a lot of me just doing crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But despite not having a paid mentor, I definitely leaned heavily on friends and I still do that.
Perfect. So what is next for you? I know you're out there looking for more deals. Is it hard to find a mobile home deal? And what's the future looking like for you as far as your goals and strategy right now?
Hard to find a deal? I don't like that. I know I've said it before and I know a lot of people say it, but it's like there's always a number that works, right? Depending. As long as it's in a place that you like and you like the property, there's a number that works. So right now, my goal isn't how many LOIs can I get accepted. It's how many LOIs can I send, because I can't control how many are accepted. I can control how many I send based on, hey, I know you want 5 million, but honestly, my numbers are only 3 million. Like, I'm sorry, this is so much lower, but I wonder if there's anything we can work on together. And if not, that's fine. But at least that LOI is out. At least I'm like in the game and just trying what I can, doing what I can, and just taking it day by day.
Love it. And so are you still going to just focus on mobile homes, or are you looking at other asset classes as well?
Yeah, I want to buy some apartment buildings. I'm with a team and we're looking also at RVs and self-storage, but it'd probably be like apartments, mobile home parks, RVs, and then self-storage. And so we're just all analyzing and sending out those letters of intent and seeing what we can make work. I love how interest rates have gone up because it makes it more of a level playing field. It's no longer send me your highest and best. It's, oh, this is now sitting for 60 days. Let's get creative. Let's talk about something that might work out well for you. So,
love it.
Yeah, man. I love it. I love giving the like the three-tiered offer right here. This is what I can do, cash and bank financing. This is what I can do if you finance a little. This is what I can do if you finance even more. So it's just, it's conversation starters. Like I throw it and put out an LOI with just, I don't know, sometimes it's not a super in-depth me analyzing something. It's okay, off the back of the napkin, like this is what could work. Let's have a conversation. And I love that because we weren't having that the past couple of years. Always just highest and best. If you're not going to pay over what asking is, get out of here. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's more fun.
Yeah. Now that absolutely. Now that things are sitting on the market longer, these brokers are more and sellers are more open to other creative options versus just all cash, quick close, that type of deal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right now.
So it's a fun time to be doing it.
Absolutely. So Tim, thank you so much for being on the show today. Where is the best place for people to find you online if they want to connect with you and maybe schedule a call and learn more about what you do?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed the conversation. I don't have any like big website or anything. I'm tim.woodbridge on Instagram. My email is woodbridge, REI, like real estate investments at gmail.com. I'm always down to talk mobile home parks or multifamily or whatever. I'm always down to help people. I think giving back is very important. And yeah, whether you have a question, whether you want a partner, whether or what, whatever, I just enjoy meeting people and having conversations.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Tim. And thanks everybody for tuning in today. If you guys enjoyed today's show, please write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Every review helps us to reach more and more people looking to get involved in commercial real estate. Today's show was sponsored by Synergy Capital Investments. To download your free multifamily investment guide for beginners or to schedule a call to learn about our upcoming investment projects, go to thrivewithsynergy.com. That's thrivewithsynergy.com or click on the link below.